From the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fritz Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
The meltdown is complete in Houston. The Kansas City Royals have won game number four with a 9-6 victory over the Houston Astros, and there will be a game five in the American League Division Series. Hello, everybody, in for Fred and AJ today. I'm Will Polonchik, sitting alongside Craig Shelton. And Craig, I know that the broadcasters said that Houston fans were stunned. I think anybody who's watched this team for any length of time probably isn't stunned. But the one thing that they are is completely peeved right now at the way that this team had six defensive outs to get themselves into the American League Championship Series, and they can't close it out.
I think Houston fans are numb. I don't think they have as much of a shock value left for this town. I think when you think about everything that this city has endured as sports fans, going back as far as the Renfro, Pittsburgh's still a game. Just say Renfro. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh's still a game. Enough said. You know what I mean?
Right. That's a curse word in this town.
But the Buffalo comeback. I mean, right. You think about all of the horrific things that the University of Five Slammer Jammer lost.
Right.
There's no devastating this fan base anymore. You can't do it. It doesn't happen. Are we disappointed? I think to a degree people are disappointed, but it's not over yet for young Astros. And I encourage folks to kind of hang in there. Hey, look, at minimum, they are exciting.
Well, it's not only that, but I think that the Houston fan really was waiting for the moment to buy into this team still. And even going through the postseason and going through the one-game playoff, I think there was still, despite the fact that you were getting sold-out crowds and despite the fact that there was excitement around the ball club, I think that the Houston fan still wants to have an opportunity, a signature moment to buy in. You thought you got that with the home run with Correa.
I think you did get it. You got it. I mean, listen, what we saw from Carlos Correa today, I look at it a little bit differently. You see this kid come out and hit those two big home runs. Then you see this kid have that nasty, wicked play on the error.
Right.
And then the team goes on this horrible, horrific run as far as getting runs scored against them. But what does he do when he comes back up the bat? He comes back out when everything looks like it's just all dismal and everybody's giving up. The air is let out of the stadium. You hear the national commentators talking about fans leaving the building. What does he do? He stays focused. He comes up. He gets a base hit. He tries to get something going. That kid is focused. He's the real deal. And I think people that really have an appreciation for the game, you know what I mean? They really have an appreciation for the game. I think we did get that benchmark moment today. I think what Correa gave us today, he made us want more. Now, if they don't finish the deal this year, they just don't. But I think we did get that benchmark moment.
Certainly offers a lot of hope for the future for him and also for this Astros team. But right now, the feeling is certainly somber here on the Blitz. Will Polonchik and Craig Shelton will take you all the way through up until 7 p.m. and break this all down for you. And I'm sure you have some thoughts if you're sitting out there, if you're coming out of the ballpark. We certainly want to hear from you. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can add us on social media at Snapchat ESPN975. Also follow the Blitz Show on Twitter at TheGenerates975 and also on Facebook at TheBlitz975. It all started in that eighth inning after the Astros had taken a big lead. They were leading by a score of 6-2, and really it looked like they had left the Royals for dead after back-to-back home runs from Carlos Correa and Colby Rasmus, the first time ever in postseason history that the Astros had had back-to-back home runs hit by them. They end up putting out Will Harris, who ended up finishing the seventh inning for Lance McCullers, who looked, aside from a couple of bad pitches, really, really good today. And they come out, a pair of singles by Alex Rios and Alcides Escobar. Ben Zobrist comes up and extends the inning after a pitching visit to the mound.
2-1 and a 1-1. Swinging a line drive into center field. Coming on Gomez. He plays it on a bounce. Everybody's going to be safe at first, second, and third as it falls in. And the bases are loaded for the Kansas City Royals here in the eighth inning. Lorenzo Cain is coming up. He represents the tying run.
And here's the point, Craig, where I'm almost sitting here, and that's where I'm starting to worry right now if you're a Houston Astros fan, because you can start to see the holes in the dike start to form, and you're wondering, you know, how much longer can A.J. Hinch stay with Will Harris at this point? And I know that there's something to be said about dance with the one who brought you, but in the postseason, you have to manage with a sense of urgency, and I just don't know if they did that today.
Okay, so if A.J. Hinch was to manage with a sense of urgency with that bullpen, with what he has to work with, what would represent that move?
If you go to an Oliver Perez or a Pat Neshek or somebody of that nature, I just think that you can't have too long a leash for anybody.
Well, I think he went too long with Will Harris. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I didn't have any issue with what he did with Sip. I think Will Harris was kind of the thing that just kind of let everything start to unravel. And after that point, it was just a sort of a snowball effect. I think he played it close to the vest. And I'm not going to kill A.J. Hinch for his decisions, even though I do believe that he went too long with Will Harris. But sticking with the guys that he stuck with, I know you had a problem with him staying with Sip as long as he did. Mm-hmm. I did not. I just think that those are the guys that he's had success with. And listen, managers, unlike they're not indifferent than coaches are in basketball, or in football, or any other sport. They get into a comfort zone with certain guys. And when you get into playoff-type situations where everything gets tight, managers, coaches alike, they all like to go with the guys that they feel comfortable with in those particular situations. And when they work, we applaud them. When it doesn't work, we tear it down. I'm going to avoid tearing it down at this point. They still got a ball game left to go. Let's just kind of see how it plays out. I'm going to avoid doing that at this point.
The bases were loaded at that point, and Lorenzo Cain was the hitter against Will Harris.
Bases loaded, and the pitch. Swing, ground ball, base hit through the left side. That'll bring in a run. Rios scores, and it will reload the bases. Rasmus with a throw home. They're all filled up again. That'll make it 6-3, Houston.
And it brings the go-ahead run to the plate for the Kansas City Royals. They go to the bullpen. They bring in Tony Sipp, a guy who I know personally and came to know when he was in the minor leagues. Very, very nice, likable guy. He had done very well for them in this series, but the line kept moving with the left-handed hitting Eric Hosmer.
And a 2-2 to Hosmer on the way. Swing, line drive, base hit into right field. Escobar is in to score. Zobrist will stop at third base. Another run is in. It is 6-4.
And that brings into the whole situation right now, whether or not you stay with Sip or you go back to the bullpen. I know that there was some mention about even possibly bringing Gregerson that early just to get him in there.
Yeah.
And I know that folks wanted that, but I honestly say, I'll sit here and say that probably was a little bit of too much of a reactionary move. They went to Gregerson at that point.
I wouldn't have killed him for it.
Right.
Had he went to Gregerson.
Oh, you would have been able to justify it a lot easier than leaving him in.
Exactly. But at the same time, you can really make an argument either way. Listen, he's had great success with Sip in this series. You know what I mean? And one thing about Sip,
he'd earned some carte blanche.
Exactly. Sip may get in and struggle, but he's a grinder, man, and he typically will work his way out of situations. If I'm in the situations where I've got base runners the way that the Astros were in that particular instance, I can't really think of another guy in that particular bullpen with what we have to work with. And one problem with the bullpen is you basically have the same guys. All your guys are pretty much the same guys. You don't have what the Royals have in regard to the heat throwers. You got guys that are going to have to work the corners and kind of pick their moments and really be very careful in determining when they want to throw those fastballs up in there, because they don't have guys throwing the ball upwards into the mid-90s. So I just don't really have a problem with the way that A.J. Hinch managed the game down the stretch. Was it ideal? Of course we can say it wasn't ideal. They lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I still say that I'll go ahead and trust the manager's judgment on this one. It didn't work this time, but it doesn't work every time. It doesn't mean that you were always wrong. Sometimes you just get beat, man. And today, Astros got whooped up on.
Seminal moment of the ball game happened here right after the Hosmer single. They had the bases still loaded, and four consecutive hits already had started the inning. And then you see Kendrys Morales come to the plate with a chance to tie the game, and he does.
Swing, ground ball up the middle. It skips off Sip and off the shortstop's glove in center field. Zobrist is in. Here comes Cain. He's in to score. Two runs across, and this game is tied. Holy mackerel. 6-6 in the eighth inning, and what a rally by the Kansas City Royals.
All the calls, again, courtesy of ESPN Radio and heard right here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Will and Craig in for AJ and Fred here on the Blitz. And interestingly enough, as you look toward where the psyche of this team is, there's two ways that this can go, especially when you think about a team that hasn't been there before. You don't really know what you're afraid of as far as going into this for the first time. But there could enter that little sense of fear now because you've almost seen the promised land. You've seen the ability to close out. You've seen the finish line, and you have it taken away. And they can go one of two ways, especially how Game 5 goes.
I don't believe there's any doubt that the team will respond well. I just don't think that this is a team that doesn't respond to adversity in a positive manner. These guys are grinders, man. This is a pretty tough group of young guys. They just don't seem to rattle. Like what we saw, what happened today, that wasn't a team that just fell apart and just unraveled. When you think about the error that occurred, look how that was a wicked situation. You got
very,
the ball
very
deflecting off of a glove, which changed the trajectory of the ball right at the point when it was going into Correa's glove and he was about to step on second base to try to get the double play. I mean, it wasn't like a situation where the ball just rolled between his legs on a standard ground ball pickup. I just don't think this is a team that's going to fall apart and just not come to play, even up there in Kansas City. And I know it's going to be electric in Kansas City, and it will be. And I would expect it's going to be a very tough ball game. But at the same time, I think the Astros are made out of the right stuff. And I really do.
Certainly so. That's Craig Shelton. I'm Will Pelagic. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We'll take your thoughts here as we continue on throughout the afternoon.
These aren't the Texans, you know.
Oh, this is true.
These aren't the Texans.
So he's hard.
That's not Will. That's not Demps and Raheem Moore back there.
Right.
All right.
Trust me, the mental fortitude of this team, I don't think is something that we can question.
I don't think so. I really don't.
And we'll certainly continue to talk about that. We want to hear from you as well. Stanford Rout will be in studio here an hour from now at 5:30. We'll continue on here throughout the afternoon with your reaction, your phone calls. The Astros fall 9-6 to Kansas City, and they're headed back to the land of Kansas City ribs and the Show Me State for game number 5 coming up on Wednesday night. Will and Craig in for Fred and AJ here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. EJ Hoffman.
And we're back. You know, I love to do that, man. I love that's my Fred Fowler. You ever heard it?
Oh, yeah.
It's the first time I've done it. That's not the first time I've done it.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I've heard that you have a very legendary Fred Fowler impersonation.
And we're back. That's pretty much it.
Very deadpan.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's pretty much it, man.
Hey, if there's one thing for Houston fans to really take some solace in, it's the fact that the Rangers are getting the you-know-what kicked in right now.
Yeah, they're getting the mud hole stumped, man.
7-1 in the top of the fifth inning right now. You were hoping for that all Lone Star series, the Silver Boots series, to get clinched up today.
Not quite.
But it's going to have to happen on Wednesday, if at all.
No doubt about it. Craig Shelton and Will Pelagic. Did I not slaughter the name?
You got it.
Did
got
I hit it
correctly.
Right? Will Pelagic. How about that?
You know, it's funny. I've heard so many machinations of that name. First time out, you tried it. It's fantastic.
Hey, man.
Good going.
Well, it is what it is. Fred, we're filling in, folks, for Fred and AJ. They're out at the Tupelo's Charity Golf Tournament. So, Will and I hanging out today. First time meeting you, Will, and I got to say it's a pleasure, man, and enjoying it so far.
Likewise as well.
So, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. That'll get you in to be a part of the conversation. I know you folks want to talk about this game, and we right in there with you, man. We were talking during the break about kind of sticking with the emotion of the day because I think it's one of those days in the city that as sports fans that we can kind of all – just kind of find some solace in this joint emotion that I know that everybody's just feeling these different emotions riding up and down the highways. But I'm here to tell you, man, I play ball with a lot of different types of personalities. And you can look a guy in the eye and you can tell who you're dealing with when you're involved in athletic competition. And I'm just telling you, man, when I look at these kids that the Astros have, I would imagine that there are plenty of managers and young coaches that watch the Astros play that think that I would love to have kids like that playing for me. And I think that this is a good, strong-minded bunch. Don't be surprised if this team goes up to Kansas City and represents themselves well.
Certainly so. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond. And you can go one of two ways with it. And right now we are joined on the hotline right now by David Dilotti, who is live at Minute Maid Park, our man on the scene covering the Astros. And, David, I guess first thing we can ask you is, what was the mood like amongst the players you talked to from this unfortunate loss to Kansas City here?
Well, the mood was, as you'd expect, pretty devastated by a loss when they were six outs away from reaching the ALCS. But to a man, they said, hey, they still got another game. They bounced back from tough losses throughout the year. George Springer mentioning, hey, you know, if it was a June or July game, we would just count it as another loss and come back the next day and play. He's right to a certain degree, but it's also a fact that it's not a June or July game. And this was a pretty devastating loss, again, when you're six outs away. But at least they're putting on the good front, and they do have Wednesday night. Colin McHugh, by the way, is pitching Wednesday night.
Hey, David, Craig here. I know you said that the team is devastated, and I would imagine that devastation will not last very long, because you have to kind of have a short memory when you're playing professional sports, particularly in the playoffs. You're not going to win every game. But looking around that locker room, I'm sure that there's somebody, one or two guys, that are exhibiting some leadership qualities in the right positive type of direction. Did you see that guy? Can you identify that guy for us?
Well, the way I would identify him is when you interview them, the tone, their body language and the tone and the way they answer questions. And the guy, I mean, I didn't interview every guy, obviously. I just got back up here. But George Springer was that guy for me, and that his tone was not one that, you know, we're cooked. He was basically, I don't want to say shrugging his shoulders, but he was the guy that said, hey, look, if this was a May or June game, we'd just come back the next night and play again and expect to win that game. And so his tone was not one of a defeatist, that, hey, it's over, and, man, how could we lose a 6-2 lead, that sort of thing. He just said, well, it's not ideal that, you know, you stretch it to a game five when you're six outs away, but if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. Carlos Correa, you know, very professional in his answers, said all the right things, and the maturity of that kid at 21 continues to amaze. But, again, a very professional, mature approach. I did sense frustration from him in his tone, but I didn't sense oh my gosh, we're cooked attitude. I even talked to Will Harrison. I'm going to be playing it in the updates here coming up. He took it on himself that he just didn't get the job done, but, you know, he's ready to go again Wednesday night if called upon. So to me, that's the sort of leadership, at least, you know, right after the game, that you need to see, is that you don't want guys – here's the body language I look for. You don't want guys with their backs to everybody staring at their locker as if the season's over, because it's not over. And really the only guy that did that for any extended period of time was Will Harris, and then he did turn around and start answering questions and discuss the game and that sort of thing. And I didn't see a completely solemn attitude in there. Obviously, they're down. I mean, that's what you would expect after, you know, what just happened this afternoon. But in the end, we'll find out Wednesday night. We'll find out Wednesday night. I have to say, though, it was just an absolutely horrible loss. I mean, you just have to put games away when you have a four-run lead. I know in baseball a lot of things happen, but this should not happen. Absolutely. Four runs for a team to score five in the eighth inning of one playoff game, that's a lot. That's way out of the ordinary.
David Dilotti is our man on the scene right now on ESPN 97.5. Will Polajic and Craig Shelton sitting in for Fred and AJ here on the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. The Royals beat the Astros 9-6, seven unanswered runs on the eighth and ninth inning to even the series at two games apiece, and said that to Kansas City Wednesday. How did AJ Hinch handle the questions about the bullpen management? Because I know there will be a lot of 10th inning managers who want to know just exactly what his thought process was, sticking with Harris as long as he did, and also sticking with Sip for the duration of that inning as well.
The portion that I heard, and I didn't hear, I was in the locker room and AJ was speaking in a press conference room. I need to go back and listen to his press conference in its entirety, but the portion I heard was really giving credit to the Royals and their patience. And this is what the Royals do. They're patient hitters and they're contact hitters. They make contact, whether it's to stay alive in the count or to put a ball in play as opposed to striking out. And boy, that was absolutely the case in that eighth inning. They made a lot of contact and not a lot of hard hit balls. Well, five singles in a row. But they made it count. But in terms of the entire Hinge press conference, I'll be playing some of that in the updates, I'm sure, as well. The one question I would have, and I don't know if this came up, I'm surprised. And look, A.J. Hinch has done a fabulous job throughout the season. The one question I would have, though, is why Mike Fiers has been invisible when two leads have evaporated in this series.
Very much so.
That to me is the big question mark. And I know that, hey, this is what we've done all year. This is our bullpen. This is what we do. We don't want to change things and panic in the playoffs. To me, it's not panic. I mean, first of all, you had him warming up in Kansas City when you had a lead, didn't use him. And it's not panic to use one of your best arms. You're not going to start him, apparently. So it's not panic to use one of your better arms to keep a lead from evaporating. I mean, Will Harris and Tony Tripp, God bless them, they've been very effective. But, you know, sooner or later, that's going to run out. And obviously it did today. I just think that when you have guys like Kazmir and McCullers that are probably not going to go 7 or 8, I think the strategy there should be whatever they give you, 5 or 6, 6 1/3 for McCullers today. I would think that with Neshek just completely collapsing and being a non-factor now, and Harris and Sip being used so much, to me, Fire should have been the bridge to Gregerson, or maybe the bridge to Sip, or the bridge to Harris in those middle innings or middle late innings. So that would be the one question I would have in terms of the use of the bullpen.
That's fair analysis in that regard. So what has to be the mental approach now that they move on from here and they go to Kansas City to play game 5? What has to be the mental approach for this team to get in there and get things done early?
Well, obviously, I'll tell you one thing they got going for them. The whole can't win on the road thing, I think that's out the window now, because they proved they can win on the road because they beat the Yankees on the road and they've beaten the Royals on the road in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So they got that going for them as opposed to how they played on the road in the regular season. I think the other thing is, quite frankly, with their power, they're such an explosive offense. I'm not going to call them a good offense because I just don't think they're consistent enough to be called a good offense, but they're such an explosive offense. They're never really out of a game. They've beaten the Royals once in Kansas City already, so that's got to give them confidence. They have a 19-game winner who has been really good for them, including the postseason. So they've got a lot of positives to look to as they go to Kansas City. They're not overmatched by this team. It's not like, you know, you're saying, well, there's just no way in terms of beating the Royals. To be honest with you, it'd be more of a concern for me if it was, for example, a team like the Rangers that you had one game to win up there on a team that just thoroughly kicked your butt down the stretch. That would be more of an issue. I think this is a pretty evenly matched series. Very winnable game for the Astros. They proved they can win there before. They've got some bats going that Colby Rasmus, for example, who's very hot. The one bat they do need to get going is Evan Gattis. I presume that A.J. Hinch will stick with him in the middle of the lineup because that's just what they do in Kansas City. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he made a change there. Evan Gattis is batting like 150, 170 or something in the postseason, and you just can't have that in the middle of your order. So that is the one thing that would concern me, is that they've got to start getting production out of Evan Gattis. The other positives they've had is they've got a guy who really hasn't done much the whole season that's all of a sudden playing well in the postseason. That's Chris Carter. So they got a lot of positives to look for going into Kansas City.
David Dilante joining us from Minute Maid Park. Thanks so much for the time, David. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
That's David Dilante joining us here on ESPN 97.5.
You know I do a Dilante as well.
You do a Dilante?
David Dilante. ESPN. Okay.
not quite as good as your
David
friend.
David Dilante.
One thing that
it used to be better.
Yeah, one thing that he did mention is the fact that they have hit Cueto well, and they have the muscle memory with him, and they got Cueto out of that game in game 2. I know that he labored through 6, but, I mean, they got to him early and often, and I think that's something they can hang their hat on as well. They hit Cueto a lot better than the Astros, or than the Royals hit McHugh.
Obviously, I haven't been doom and gloom, but I haven't been that guy in regard to this, but I have to admit, Cueto is the one thing that kind of does concern me a little bit about going up there playing this particular game. It bothers me.
It boggles you a little bit
with him. But I think some of the things that David said are really concrete facts. You think about what Chris Carter, how he has hit the ball of late. You think about what Kobe Rasmus has done. Springer has been consistent. Correll has got his bat going. I mean, the team is swinging the bat well, and that's the one thing about the Astros is when this team is swinging the bat well and they get into those little runs to where they are hitting, putting the bat on the leather, so to speak, this team can handle any situation in any ballpark just because of how it's built. And, you know, let's just face that. That is what it is.
The instant offense is a big part of this team.
When they're in one of those runs where they're hitting, which is where they are right now, where they're hitting the long ball, they're dangerous no matter where they go. Now, God forbid they go there and they actually do a little small ball and get some love from the table setter guards and get some base runners, and we can have some 2-3-run home runs and not 1-run home runs. That's the thing that kills this baseball team is so many solo home runs, not enough guys hitting for average. If they can be a little bit more patient at the plate, everybody's swinging at first pitches with the Astros. If they can be a little bit more patient at the plate, get some base runners, and get that long ball working, and let those runs build up a little bit more, I think they have a better shot. I just believe that the team, the way that they've been playing of late, if you look at the Astros all year long, everything that they do has been in blocks.
Right.
They play in blocks. They play in good blocks. Then they have bad
Very
blocks.
Streaky.
Exactly. And right now, they're actually – forget about today's loss. What they're doing overall is they're hitting the ball right now.
Right.
And I think that'll continue. And if it does continue in Kansas City, the Astros can get out of there with a win.
Let's hear from the Astro fan themselves. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-ESPN. We have Angel, who held all the way through David Dilotti's update, and we will go to Angel right now. You're first up on ESPN 97.5. Angel, thanks for joining us.
Hello, Angel.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You doing all right today?
We are.
Doing pretty good.
We could be better.
Considering.
I imagine a rough day today in Houston, man. But, hey, man, I got one question for you, then I'm going to go ahead and sit back and listen. What do y'all think about Game 2 in Kansas City whenever A.J. Hinch pulled out Cashmere in the sixth inning and then brought in the reliever to actually basically lose the game for us? I mean, do you think that was just a little too early? Because, I mean, all he did was walk one batter.
Yeah,
and we saw him get out of the inning previously. We saw him get out of that. So I'm gonna go ahead and hang up and listen to y'all. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that he. Well, I mean, we can second guess it now, but I think right. If you look at recent history with Cashmere,
it blows up quickly for him.
And I think the fact that he got out of some trouble in the previous inning, I think you take that, and I don't think you want to risk it and go too far with him based on recent history. Kind of what we were just talking about with the last point. He's kind of indicative of what the team is. You know, he's been streaky. He started off when he first got to the Astros pitching well, and his last few games haven't been that great. I don't really have a problem with the fact that A.J. went to him, Hinch got him out of there when he did.
No, I think that, and again, you make your decisions a lot differently on the road, especially with a one-game lead. I think you want to at least avoid going back to mm-hmm. Houston with a 1-1 tie. 54 after the hour here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-ESPN. We're starting to see the phone lines light up like a Christmas tree. Ryan's first up after the break. We'll take some more of as well. The Astros fall Kansas City 9-6. How do they rebound? We will continue to break that all down. Will Pelagic, Craig Shelton for the boys on the Blitz on ESPN.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
5:00 in the city of Houston. Will Pelagic and Craig Shelton here with you, filling in for AJ and Fred on the Blitz on the day where we find out we're going back to Kansas City. 9-6, Kansas City beats Houston in Game 4 of the American League Division Series. They score 5 in the 8th, 2 in the 9th, 7 unanswered altogether. to blow a 6-2 Astro lead. They were six defensive outs away from the championship series and can't get it done. We'll take some phone calls as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If you're somebody in that clubhouse right now, I know they were saying this, John Kruk was saying this on the radio broadcast, this literally has to be a half-hour rule, and we're on to Kansas City. We're going. Like, that's got to be as long as you spend on it.
That's what you do. I mean, you move on, man. You talk about it. You sweat about it. You do whatever you need to do to get past it, and then you move on. It's a tough game. The other team gets paid to play, too. And today you did the unthinkable, but at the same time, you just can't let that set in and weigh in on you. If you do, you might as well not even make the flight to Kansas City.
Phone calls are coming in right now at 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Ryan leads off the 5 o'clock hour. He joins us now on the Blitz. How are you, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sports.
How you doing?
Doing well. Hey, I just wanted to say that was a great game, even though we lost. I went to work today, this morning. I went on a third-party website. As soon as I got to work, I saw there were still tickets available, and I was like, I'm down. I'm buying tickets. I bought standing room seats for $50. I went down there. I told my work that I had a doctor's appointment. I didn't even care. Hmm. I wanted to go see them Stros clinch the pennant. But
are you calling us under an assumed name, Ryan?
What's that?
Are you calling us under a fake name then? I hope your boss isn't listening.
No, that's my real name. I ain't afraid.
Okay.
Anyway, but yeah, I got down there, and it was great. The first eight or so innings, man, I thought we were going to do it. We were up 6-2. I was like, man, this is going to be awesome. And then it was just like 0-5 Pujols all over again. I was like, are you kidding me?
0-5 turned out pretty good, though, afterwards, though, didn't it?
No, yeah, that's what I'm hoping, too. Like, we're going to game five. I'm not discouraged. We played a great game, played our butts off. We're going to go to KC and take it. We got McHugh on the mound, 19-game winner. He already won in KC in game one. We're gonna go there and take their crown. We got this. ALCS, baby.
That's
go Stros.
That's a positive Royals or positive Astros fan there. I'm sorry. I hate to call Ryan a Royals fan. No, positive Astros fan.
I was about
fan.
To say, of course, yeah. Although I'm sure everyone in Royalsville is a little bit positive.
Well,
right
it's
now,
weird. But it's funny how he made the dichotomy in the comparison to what happened in 05 with Pujols. That wasn't a slow burn, though. That was an instant, like, that was a dagger. This was more of a, you know, this is more of a simmering burn that just kind of took a long time to get going with five consecutive singles.
No doubt about it.
It's terrible. It's similar.
And an error.
It's similar.
A wicked error.
It's similar, but I think, too, this can be something that galvanizes you. And, you know, I think it almost helps them in a way playing on the road. A little bit.
I don't know if it makes any difference that they're going on the road or that they will play at home, but I do know. This was what my take was on the Astros all year long. When they got off to the magnificent start, and as we saw things start to matriculate and kind of we saw how it progressed and it became what it was, my whole deal was I didn't know if this team was going to be able to finish the deal, and meaning even make it to the playoffs.
Right. But I was doubting that too.
It wasn't even about doubt. I just realized that it was just such a huge task when you think about what the expectation was for them to be able to get to where they are now based on where they were last year and what the expectations were going into this year. So I looked at it as though no matter what, this year was a little bit ahead of the curve, and at minimum, this team was getting some experience and to a degree that we didn't anticipate them getting this type of experience for maybe another year or two. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now here we are a year or so ahead of schedule getting this great, great experience in the postseason, a late season race for the postseason. And I just think that the benefit for this year is really going to be appreciated more over the next 2, 3, 4 years than it will be this year. Right now, we're caught up in the emotion of the moment.
Right.
But down the road, we'll put a lot of value on the experience that the team went through this year.
In the aftermath of what happened today, you certainly feel differently than you will tomorrow, and even differently than you might feel on Wednesday. And it will be, according to our David Dulati, Colin McHugh going in Game 5, and more than likely he'll go against Johnny Cueto from Kansas City. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-ESPN to join us here on The Blitz. I'm Will Pelagic with Craig Shelton. Let's go to Casey, who's on the line, talking about the Astros loss to Kansas City. Casey, how are you?
Hello, Casey.
I could be better, you know. That was a tough loss. But, you know, in the ninth inning when we were down by three, everyone's trying to go for the long ball when they should be just trying to get on base. It was kind of frustrating.
You saw Correa have a good at bat there, and I'm wondering just exactly how you go about trying to come back from something like that. I think that you really can't make too much about where their at bats were in the eighth and ninth inning. I think I don't want to say they necessarily quit, but I think that there was an understandable sense there that, you know, you're looking forward possibly to you kind of know that a game five is in the offing, that there's a lot to still play for, and you don't want to completely go beyond your means. You know what got you here? The home runs got you here, and I don't begrudge them for trying to do that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just hard for me because I just think, you know, in that game, if you get two guys on base, you stress the pitcher out a little bit, and then that's when the long ball comes through. So, for me, everyone trying. I mean, Correa definitely had a good at-bat, but just, like, sometimes I wish they would try and, you know, just try and stretch out the pitcher a little bit more, see a few more pitches go through, and then see what they can make of that. But, you know, we're going to get him in game five. I don't think Johnny Cueto is going to be able to handle it, so let's go Strohs.
Appreciate the call, Casey. And here's one thing that I like that you said, Craig, because while the Astros' offense is instant, it's streaky. I mean, they scored six runs today. Six runs for this offense should be enough to win. I don't care how bad your bullpen is. Mm-hmm. If you're a postseason team, you should score six runs and be able to win a baseball game. And granted, what the Astros' bullpen did in a vacuum is bad, but this game is not on the Astro offense today, or even what they did in the final two innings.
No, I don't think so. And here's the other thing. People are going to question every move that A.J. Hinch made, or
sure,
every move that he did not make, or what they thought he should have done. And, you know, and all is fair. I'm not the guy to sit here and tell you what you should or shouldn't think. What I'm saying is, it ain't over,
right,
for one thing. And unless you saw something in that team that I didn't see, David Dilaudy was right there in the locker room with those kids in the clubhouse. And he says, yeah, they were dejected about the loss because, I mean, you know, it was a huge loss. But at the same time, it wasn't like this team seems to be walking around in a state to where that they've given up. And I think that's very, very important. And maybe some may feel like I'm overplaying it, but I don't think it's something that should be downplayed because I've seen the team compete all year long, and I've seen them look pretty, pretty bad at times, and the whole town really be down on them. At times, I thought that they didn't get enough support, and they were still going out there grinding, really giving it their all. This is a hard-nosed baseball team, the kind of baseball team that I like to watch play, and I just don't think that it's over for the kids. I just think the kids have a chance. To me, they remind me a whole lot of what we saw in Kansas City last year.
Certainly so. There
you
were a lot,
I mean?
Lot of tweets about this 25 Astros team looking like the 2014 Royals.
And, I mean, it really is.
And the Royals of this year are not what they were last year either, because their bullpen isn't as strong, their starting pitching isn't as strong, and they've lost some also very key parts of that team that aren't with them. We're going to have Stanford Rout here, bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little football with the former NFL player and UH cornerback. So it's not just all baseball, but it is mostly baseball here on ESPN 97.5 here on The Blitz. We'll talk to Kyle next. Kyle, you're on ESPN 97.5. Will Pelagic and Craig Shelton here with you. How are you, Kyle?
Yeah, doing good, man. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you. How you doing?
Doing great. Hey, to touch on what you said, you mentioned A.J. Hinch. The only thing I question about what A.J. did not do was take Harris out a little bit earlier.
We both agree.
Yeah, we agree.
Don't let him fill the sacks. But I'll say this about A.J. He's done a fantastic job. All he's got to do is go back in that clubhouse and tell them guys the same thing he told them after they beat the Yankees. Y'all know what it is. I'm not going to say it on the radio. Tell them the same thing. Tell them to go out and do what they do, the way they do it, and they're going to be fine.
See, I'm not worried about this team at all. I mean, I think that if there's a team in this postseason that's built mentally to handle what happened here today, it's the Houston Astros.
I'm glad that we have a Major League Baseball team. Keyword, Major League Baseball team.
Right.
Because I can remember when my wife first got in the country, I took her to go see this team, and they weren't a major league baseball team at that time. And I'm just I'm glad that we not only have a team that's playing good ball.
These are good problems to have.
But it's the type, the style of baseball that they play. It's an entertaining brand. It's, you know what I mean? It's an entertaining brand of baseball. And I believe that the Astros are going to acquit themselves very, very well when they go up to Kansas City. And I know sometimes you can have all the heart in the world, all the best intentions, and you can just not be quite good enough. And maybe they aren't. But I just think that I still believe that this season – is a season about the future more so than it is about right now. And right now, we just kind of living a dream and just kind of getting a, you know, it's gravy right now. It's right. What it is. You know?
Yeah, and I could think about this one of two ways, and I'll share that with you here in a moment. Johnny is next. Johnny, you're on ESPN 97.5 talking Astros baseball here on the Blitz. Hello, Johnny. Johnny, last call, Johnny. No dice. Sorry, Johnny. Let's try one more. Let's go to Paul. Paul has a comment about the Correa era in the eighth inning. What's up, Paul?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
I had a comment and then a question to see what you guys thought. But on the error that Correa had in the eighth there, ball going up the middle.
Tough
change. On the replay, it almost looked like he was kind of like, I don't know, flinching or kind of anticipating maybe a worse hop on it than there was. Cause it looked like he was going to have it pretty easily. And then at the last second, you see on the replay, as the ball was almost to him, he kind of like cringed his neck a little bit, looked down a little bit, and the glove went down a little bit, and it went right over. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of wondering if anybody else noticed or what they thought.
I agree with the caller.
Yeah. I agree, but I still can't kill the kid for it. He's the reason you got here. He's the reason that you're even leading in the game before that.
But you're not killing him to say that he should have made the play, because he should have made that play.
It's a tough chance.
It was an awkward play. Granted, that was a change of trajectory on the ball, but at the same time, you call his career, you're an elite shortstop in the league. No, you got to make that play. I mean, and that's not killing him to say that, and I would guarantee you he will tell you 9 out of 10 times, I'm going to take that play to the house. You know what I mean? But the caller's right. The ball did do something weird there.
Yes.
It was like he had an expectation of how the ball was going to break, and it didn't have as much action on it as he thought it would. Listen, it was a weird break on the ball. That being said, man, he needed to make that play. That was a critical, critical play at a critical time of the game, and he has to own that. And that, just like you own the 2 home runs, you have to own that, too.
More of your phone calls on the Astros at 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Will Pelagic, Craig Shelton in for the boys on the Blitz. My question to the Astros fan is this. Have we passed the point where it's okay to be disappointed, or are we at the point right now where it's house money, we're fine with whatever result, or is it still okay to be disappointed in this team if they don't come out and win this series? We'll answer that question next. Also give you an update on what's going on in Arlington as well here on The Blitz, ESPN 97.5.